46. Wax climbed down the hidden passage in the mayor's mansion. Yes, it did seem to be squeezed between two walls. He'd climbed far enough to pass the first floor and reach the basement. Here, his ladder emerged into a small room with iron walls and ceiling. It had supplies on the shelves, dry rations, jugs of water. Looked like some kind of small emergency bunker. Not intended for long-term occupancy, but a safe bolt hole in case of... what? Riots in the streets? Or something more nefarious, like an accidental weapon detonation? Chilled, Wax inspected the room and found scrapes on the floor indicating a hidden door on one wall. He opened it without much difficulty, though it was made of thick reinforced metal, and found a path into the storm drain. Light peeked in through the grates above, and the scent, though unpleasant, wasn't terrible. Not a true sewer, just a place for washing rainwater out of the streets and toward the ocean. And a nice emergency exit from the mayor's mansion, he thought, noting numerous footprints in the sludge and dried muddy ones in the concrete tunnel up ahead. A little farther along, he found a small motorized cart, open-roofed, perfect to drive in these tight confines. The wheels were covered in sludge, and there were numerous tire tracks in the mud beyond. There were no keys in the cart, and though supposedly there was a way to start one without them, that was a feat of thievery he'd never studied. Instead, Wax pulled the folded-up calendar from his coat pocket and noted again the numerous appointments at the lab. Back and forth, sometimes a couple of times a day. If Wax had been visiting a secret installation that frequently, he would most certainly have wanted a covert way to travel. Wax started into the tunnel on foot, but then phantoms from long ago rose around him. For the briefest moment, he wasn't in a drainage sewer in the most modern city of the basin. He was in a dirty mine adit, haunted by twisted artwork made by a terrible mind. Golden light sifting down from above, a meeting with destiny. Someone else moves us. A deep breath and a moment of peace banished the phantoms. They'd be with him forever, but they didn't haunt him any longer. They were more like echoes than ghosts, reminders of the man he'd been, the life he'd led, and the people he'd loved. They were remembered, but today he had work to do. He found a service ladder to the street above and climbed up to go find Wayne. Hopefully, he wasn't on fire. Blessedly, he found Wayne alive and only slightly singed, waiting at the prearranged rally point. A bar, because of course it was. Wayne had picked the spot. Wax slid into the seat beside his friend, and Wayne passed him a shot of whiskey, which Wax downed with a hiss of satisfaction. They left money on the counter, then slipped out the back. "You find anything?" Wayne asked as they reached the end of the alley behind the bar. "Some writings that might be relevant," Wax said. "Calendar, letters. More importantly, a secret tunnel. Hopefully leading somewhere useful."
"Nice," Wayne said.
"What happened to you?"
"Eh," Wayne said. "Nothing that interesting."
Wax looked at him, then at the burn marks on his trousers.
"Couldn't do Grandma's Bennett the vodka," Wayne explained. "Couldn't find a wig in time. So I did Flamin' Bunny instead."
"Flaming Bunny," Wax said flatly. "Please tell me you didn't set a rabbit on fire, Wayne."
"Of course not. I couldn't find a damn wig in time. Where would I find a rabbit?"
"Good, I..."
"You use a cat for Flamin' Bunny, and those are all over the dang place."
"Wayne, you set a cat on fire?"
"Hell no. What do you think I am, a sadist?"
Wax relaxed a little.
"You throw the cat out a window," Wayne explained.
"Oh, Harmony," Wax said.
"Why?" "To save it from the flames, of course."
Wayne shook his head as Wax led him toward the storm drain.
"That's the plan. You start a big fire, then go around screaming and throw a cat out the window. People believe you and think you're saving pets."
Then
you shout that someone has to save the bunny," he said. "You lead everyone in to knock on the doors and get folks out of the place, and everybody gets all crazy and distracted helping you."
Wax stopped on the street, gawking at the silver house with everyone else. It was now almost fully ablaze, a terrible plume of smoke rising from it, like the deepness itself.
"You did say," Wayne noted, "that following an egregious diplomatic incident, we might as well have some fun."
"That is not what I said," Wax sighed.
"What?" Wayne said. "You still on about that cat thing? You really threw it out a window? What would you have done? Leave it to burn? I had to rescue the thing."
"Rescue the cat from a fire you made. A cat that you kidnapped expressly for that purpose." Wayne grinned.
"Oh, don't worry. I hooked him at a tree real good. Cats always land in trees, so long as you throw them hard enough."
Why would you think that?"
"Dunno," Wayne said as Wax started them moving again. "Must have learned it in school."
"Did you go to school?"
"As a kid? Nah. But I burned one down once, before I even developed Flamin' Bunny. Maybe the cat thing was on the board or something in there."
"Wait, when did you burn down a school?"
"West Haven," Wayne said. 9 years back. It was an evil damn school."
Wax hesitated at the mouth of the alley with the access ladder, thinking. West Haven. Oh, right. That had been an evil damn school. "Fine," Wax said, pulling open the hatch to the storm drain. "Let's keep moving." Wayne climbed down. At the bottom, he grunted.
"What?" Wax said, joining him.
"Don't tell Maracy about this," he said. "I told you you ain't never taking me into a sewer. At least this one doesn't stink."
He squinted.
"Actually, kinda looks like a narrow canyon with all those lights coming in the top."
"Why would you say that?" Wax said.
"No reason."
They both turned around as the bells of the fire brigade sounded from above.
"So," Wayne said, "calendar and letters, was it?"
Wax nodded.
"Gave has been visiting a place called the Lab, though he also left for 2 weeks for some kind of trajectory test a couple of months ago, disguised as a vacation."
"Huh," Wayne said, pointing ahead. "And the Lab is this way, you think?"
"Seems likely," Wax said.
He dug in his pocket a moment, then passed the calendar to Wayne, who whistled softly.
"No appointments after today?"
"I noticed that too."
"They arrive," Wayne said, reading.
Wax nodded, giving Wayne a moment with the calendar pages while he pulled out the letters. The light wasn't great down here, but he could make out enough in the sunlight coming through the grates. Reading the two letters again, one extremely incriminating, the other full of pleasantries. "What?
Oh, rusts. Wayne," he said, holding up the incriminating letter they'd gotten from the newspaper editor. "This is a forgery."
"What? Really?"
Wayne took it.
"How do you know?"
"Before all this started," Wax said, "I spent a good amount of time on an operation that implicated Venice Hastings, who supposedly wrote that letter, in a scandal. I proved that he had been bribing other senators. In order to make our case, Steris and I authenticated letters we'd acquired from him. Rusts. I visited 3 separate handwriting analysts, and they talked specifically about the distinctive turn of Venice's strokes, which aren't right in this one."
He felt his eyes widen.
"That's what it means? That's what she's doing?"
"Mate," Wayne said, "you gotta be more clear, 'cause I sure ain't following."
"My sister," Wax explained. "She needs a way to seize control of the basin and prove to autonomy she can rule here. I've been wondering how blowing up Ellendale achieves that."
"It would remove a whole lot of barriers."
"Yes, but surely the other cities would never follow someone who committed such an atrocity."
Wax held up the fake letter.
"Unless Telson could claim she didn't blow up Ellendale. Unless she had proof, in the form of forged letters, that the senators inside Ellendale were the ones developing the bomb. With the right evidence, she could make it look like they mistakenly blew themselves up."
"Oh, that's devious," Wayne said. She can recover some of the details of that weapon, too, so Billming will reluctantly have access to the technology to protect the basin from the Malwish. Hell, that would work. Remove Ellendel, unite the basin, achieve dominance on the planet.
A peace locked into place. Even Gabe's letters, the real ones from Venus Hastings, made sense now. They'd needed handwriting samples, hence the cordial letters between mayor and senator.
"And the lack of appointments after today?" Wayne asked. "Seems like our deadline's even tighter than we feared."
"We need to find this lab," Wax said, starting along the storm drain again, "and hope the bomb is there." Wayne nodded, joining him. Gave had scheduled 15 minutes on either side of his appointments for travel to the lab, so it wouldn't be too far. As they walked, Wax found himself increasingly worried about what Tilson was doing, about the implications of it all. So he was a little relieved when Wayne broke the silence.
"So," Wayne said, "when you were in the mayor's office, did you notice if he had a nice desk?"
"He had a rather nice one," Wax said. "Why?"
"Did you..."
He nodded back in the direction of the Silver House.
"You know..."
"Fart in his chair?"
"Yep."
"Wayne, of course I didn't." They walked a little farther through the muck, finding a place where kids had obviously snuck down, judging by the graffiti painted on the walls. Giant, sweeping terrace patterns of V's. "Okay," Wax finally said, unable to let it go despite trying quite forcefully.
"Why would you even think that I would do that to his chair?
You explicitly said not to, and beyond that..."
"What the hell? Who does that?"
"Nobody. Nobody," Wayne said. "It's good you didn't. Gotta stay classy, you know, especially in times like this. Very serious. Bombs threatening cities, likely detonation today. No time for frivolity."
He paused.
"But," Wayne continued, "if I'd been there and seen that fancy chair, well, I like those chairs, you know. The type that leans all the way back and is all leather and firm enough for support, but not so firm that it's uncomfortable, you know? And I'd think, damn, that's a fancy chair. And I'd wonder, would the old backyard mist maker sound different? What if I released a little concentrated essence of Wayne into those perfect leather contours? Would it feel different? Would my cheeks..."
"That's enough, please."
"Oh, right. Okay."
They continued on a little farther, but something about his words... Wax again tried to put it out of his mind, but... "Wayne," he finally said, closing his eyes, feeling angry at himself for continuing the conversation, "I have a chair just like that back in my study in the penthouse."
"That you do," Wayne said solemnly. "You do indeed."
"Oh, hell.
Wayne, did you..." "Wax, the whole city is in danger, you know. You need to stop letting your attention drift, mate. First that fixation on me maybe setting government buildings on fire, only twice, mind you, which isn't a pattern, just a coincidence. Now this fascination with what comes out of my backside. Can't we keep focused on important things?"
"Yeah, I suppose."
"Like this art," Wayne said, admiring some graffiti. "Ma was right. This place is beautiful."
"Ma," Wax said, "do I want to know what you're talking about this time?"
"This just reminds me of an old story with a canyon," Wayne said, joining him as they continued. "A story my ma told me. Last one she gave me. So I remember it well, you know."
"No," Wax said. "How is this tunnel a canyon?"
"It just is,"
Wayne said softly, looking up as they passed under another grate, sunlight crossing his face in a checkerboard pattern.
"Been thinking about it since earlier today. It's inevitable, you know."
"I don't," Wax said. "I really don't, Wayne."
"Well, it just is," he said, "even if you don't know it. You're the hero, Wax, and you got a mission. Bomb. The nastiest monster would ever lived.
You're gonna stop him? He hesitated. Watch out. Might be some snakes in this canyon.
It's a storm drain, Wax said, and I've never seen a snake in the city.
Yeah, they're damn good at snaking, Wayne said. Speaking of snakes, the Set. They'll know that was us with the mansion.
Undoubtedly, Wax said. They might push into the mayor's study to recover sensitive documents. I couldn't replace the rug above the trap door, so they'll know I found the tunnel.
Oh, great.
Great?
You're supposed to find a bad guy in the canyon, Wayne explained. If the story is going to go right, at least.
Wayne, Wax said, we're not in a canyon in your mother's story. We're in a storm drain in Bilming, trying to find and stop an explosive device. He was interrupted by a gunshot just ahead, echoing in the narrow tunnel, and a bullet hit the concrete near Wax's head with a pop, blasting out a chip. They both immediately ducked to the sides, getting low, and saw shadows moving in the tunnel ahead, just around a bend. Wax picked out two figures crouching beside the curve of the tunnel, the coin shot he'd fought earlier, and a shorter woman wearing a bowler hat.
Hey, Wayne said, will you look at that? Bad guys and snakes, both at the same time.